Okay, welcome back to the Home Buyer Education Program. Today we're going to talk about the good faith and truth in lending forms. There's been a lot of questions on exactly what these forms do, and the information on them sometimes can be a little bit confusing if you're not familiar with looking at this stuff. So I really would like to go over both the forms in as much detail as I can. For those of you who are not familiar with the forms, you can go to my website at www.homesforsaleinoklahoma.com and look for the investors tab at the top of the page and click on it. And I've went ahead and put links on each one of the forms that I'm going to be talking about here. And there's contracts in there that we're going to refer to later on in the next segment. So if you want to go ahead and pause this, go to the website, bring up the good faith estimate link, and you can follow along with what I'm saying. On the good faith estimate, if you look at the top of the form on the right-hand side, it shows the sales price, the base loan amount, total loan amount, the type of loan, whether it's fixed, purchase, or refinance, the date that it was prepared, the interest rate, and then the term, whether it's a 10, 15, 20, 25, or 30-year loan. On the left side of the form, and really on the left and right, but mostly on the left-hand side of the form, it's going to show all the fees that are associated with the type of loan that you've requested. In this particular case, the example I'm looking at is a conventional loan, and I know the forms that you're looking on the website are blank, but the example I'm going to use is for a conventional fixed-rate loan on a 30-year term. But each one of those fields could have a figure in it. And at the bottom of this good faith estimate, on the left-hand side, it says total estimated funds needed to close. And so that's exactly what the lender is telling you will need to bring to the closing table. The good faith estimate is tied to the truth in lending. So when the lender originates this good faith estimate, it automatically calculates the figures in the truth in lending, which we're going to go over later. Now, these are not necessarily standardized forms. Most lenders use a good faith estimate that is very similar to this, if not identical. So most of the information that you're seeing on these forms should be somewhat similar to the one that you're going to see with your lender. The good faith will show all the fees involved in getting a loan with that company. So depending on the company that you're dealing with, you may see some different numbers, because it is an estimate, number one, and it does include lender fees, and lender fees do vary amongst lenders. But you want to compare this form to other estimates that you've received of what it's going to cost you to purchase this home. Typically, if you're working with a real estate company, the realtor would have provided you with a buyer's estimate of expenses. And so that should be, like I said in my first segment, that should be very close to what the lender is saying that you're going to need at closing, typically within $200 or $300. The right column shows the payment breakdown. So you've got all your fees through item 1300, which is survey and pest. At the bottom of that, under that, it's going to say total estimated settlement charges, and which is going to be different than the total funds needed to close, because the total funds needed to close includes your down payment. So on the right-hand side, it's going to show what all the total of the fees are, and then on the left-hand is going to show a combination of down payment and fees. But underneath that, it shows what your total monthly payment breakdown is. The case that I'm looking at, it's got principal and interest, it's got real estate taxes, it's got flood insurance, and then mortgage insurance premium, for a total monthly payment of $742. So, but that's going to show you exactly what you're going to have to mail to a mortgage company every month. So if that payment's not within your range, you need to say something. When you go over the form, and the lender should sit down and go over this stuff with you, by the way. There shouldn't be any surprises. But don't be afraid to ask what fees are for and whether or not they can be eliminated. You know, why am I paying this particular fee and can be eliminated. In some cases, obviously, the seller might be willing to pay those fees. So when you write your contract, you might come up with some particular fees you're asking the seller to pay for. In Oklahoma, the lender fees average around $500 for underwriting, doc prep, and tax service. There may be other fees involved with a particular lender that you're dealing with. They may have a processing fee. They may have a funding fee. There may be various other fees, and they do vary amongst lenders across the country. So what you might see in California is not necessarily going to be the same thing that we're doing here in Oklahoma. But you should always compare at least three mortgage companies to each other, and that will tell you whether or not one company is way out of line. But the other thing to keep in mind on this is that we get a lot of questions on is homeowners insurance. The lender is going to estimate what homeowners insurance is going to cost you on a yearly basis and then on a monthly basis. But the mortgage company does not sell homeowners insurance. You're still required to go find an insurance company. That insurance company will tell the mortgage company what your premium is going to be, and then at closing, the mortgage company will receive a check from the title company. So, but it's still your responsibility to go find your own insurance company. It's a good idea to have someone review the good faith estimate to ensure the charges are reasonable, and typically I'm talking about either a realtor or an attorney, and they'll be able to tell you whether or not something's way out of line. There are some companies that you can find on the internet that do have some higher than average fees. They're brokers, so you might be paying a third party fee, where if you went to a mortgage banker, you might not pay that fee. If the estimate says you need more money for the closing that you have, probably a good time to bring that up. So in this case, I'm looking at the estimated funds needed to close is $8,759.46. So if you don't have that much money, you really need to bring that up at that time. So I don't have $8,700. But the lender has 3 business days to provide this form to you after you've made your formal loan application. And you should sign it and return it to the lender so that it's in the file showing that, hey, this is the one that the lender went over. If you didn't sign it, how are you going to prove that that's the one that the lender initially had gone over with you? The next form that we're going to talk about is the Truth in Lending form. That's also on my website. You can click on that link, bring up that form. And like I said before, the Truth in Lending coincides with the good faith estimate. So when the lender produces the good faith estimate, it automatically calculates the fields in the Truth in Lending form. This is probably the most confusing form that you're going to see in this whole process. Across the top of the form, it shows the borrower's name, whether it's a preliminary Truth in Lending or a final Truth in Lending. And there's probably going to be some adjustments to the good faith estimate and the Truth in Lending. If there is a significant adjustment, they're supposed to reprint these and get new signatures on them. But there's 4 boxes across the top of the form. One is the annual percentage rate, the finance charge, amount financed, and then total payments. The box to the left, annual percentage rate, just remember, as I said in the loan process, this is not your interest rate. This is an interest rate that reflects the cost of your credit as a yearly rate. And it's always going to be different than your interest rate. It's always going to be slightly higher, so don't let that bother you. If it's way out of line, it's because there's too many fees in the loan itself. The finance charge is the total amount of interest paid over the term of the loan. In this case, it's a 30-year loan, so that's the total amount of interest you're going to pay over the 30 years if you kept that home for 30 years and then paid it through a normal amortization, just paid your monthly payment on time every month and never paid anything extra. If you sell your home, let's say you kept the home for 5 years and sold it, you won't pay that total amount shown in that box. You're only going to pay the money that you for the time that you had the loan. The amount financed in the next box is your loan amount minus deposits. So it's the loan amount, which would be, let's say, $95,000 minus your $5,000 down payment, so your total amount is based on a $90,000 loan. The last box is the interest and principal you will pay over the entire term of the loan. So it takes the finance charge, the amount financed, totals those two together, and that's exactly what you're going to pay if you pay the loan on time over the entire term of the loan, which most people don't. Most people don't pay their loan off through amortization. They sell the home. In the center of the form, this shows what your principal and interest payment is going to be. It does not include your taxes and your insurance. And sometimes there is a slight change. For instance, the first 10 years, your principal and interest payment might be such and such. And then after the 10th year, it may go down a little bit, especially if your interest rate is going to change a little bit, or if it's re-amortized. So you might have two different lines in there showing different principal and interest payments, but the latter payments should be lower. What you need to do really is pay attention to the bottom half of this form, because this is what's going to tell you what type of loan you have, whether or not it's fixed or variable. If the box is where it says variable rate is checked, you might want to go back to your lender if you think you're getting a fixed rate loan. So make sure that that box is not checked. It also specifies how much of a late charge there will be and when it's assessed. Normally it's 5% of the monthly payment after the 15th day of the month. So if you send your payment in on the 16th, you're late, you're going to be assessed a 5% penalty based on the monthly payment. So if your monthly payment's $1,000, your late fee is going to be $50. Now, your loan's not late until after the 30th day, but for penalty purposes, it's late past the 15th. The other area is if there is a prepayment penalty. There's a box down there that says if you pay early, you may or will not have to pay a penalty. And so if it says that you may have to pay a penalty, you probably need to check with the lender and find out why there's a prepayment penalty on it. The next area talks about assumptions, and it says someone buying your dwelling cannot assume the remainder of the mortgage on the original terms, or may, subject to conditions, be allowed to assume the remainder of the mortgage on the original terms. Conventional loans are no longer assumable. They used to be. VA loans and FHA loans may be assumable, but the borrower is going to have to qualify for income and credit. That is pretty much it for the good faith and truth of lending. I wanted to do just a separate segment on that, because these forms are confusing and they're extremely important for you to understand. If you have any additional questions on the information that I provide you today, please take the moment to email me at mcnamara@okcrealtors.com, and I'll be glad to answer any questions that you have. Thanks for tuning in, and stand by for the next segment on buyer's responsibilities.